Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Today, I have a special surprise for you. A guest that's going to read a story. I hope you'll have fun listening to it.
Hello, my name is Cindy Reapy. I have 4 grandchildren. I'll be reading some short stories for you. Arthur's First Sleepover by Mark Brown. Arthur was getting ready for his first sleepover. He was in the backyard setting up a large tent. "It isn't until Saturday," called Mother. "Come in and eat your breakfast." Father laughed while he read the paper. "Some man in town says he saw a spaceship," he chuckled. "Probably the same man who thinks he saw Elvis at the mall," joked Mother. "I don't believe in aliens," said Arthur. "Well, the National Require does," said D.W., "and they'll pay a lot of money for a picture of one." On the way to school, the girls were talking about the spaceship. Arthur wanted to talk about his sleepover. "We can have the sleepover in my tent," said Arthur. "You wouldn't catch me out in a tent with these spaceships landing," said Muffy. "Bad news," said Buster. "My mom thinks I'm too young for a sleepover. I can't come."
"But you have to," said Arthur. "It's my first sleepover, and you're my best friend."
"Why do they call them sleepovers?" said Francine. "No one ever sleeps." That afternoon, Arthur told his mother about Buster's problem.
"Well, I'll see what I can do," said Mother.
Arthur crossed his fingers while she dialed. Buster's mom did all the talking.
"Yes."
"No."
"Of course not," said Mother.
"Absolutely. Good talking with you, too. Bye."
Mother smiled and nodded her head. "Yes."
"Hooray!" cried Arthur. "Does Buster's mom know about the spaceship?" asked D.W.
"I saw flashing lights from one today."
"I think that was the pizza shop sign," said Mother.
Saturday morning, Arthur was outside making the tent cozy for his sleepover. His family helped too.
"I was just thinking," said D.W. "How do we know you're our real parents? And not aliens in their bodies?"
"Did you brush your teeth?" asked Father.
"And pick up that mess in your room, young lady," said Mother.
Okay, said D.W.
"They sound real to me," said Arthur. Arthur was looking for his flashlight when Buster and the Brain arrived.
"It was here a minute ago," said Arthur.
"I wonder if you'll see any aliens," said D.W.
"If we do," said the Brain, "how will we communicate with them?"
"Forget about communicating," said D.W. "Take pictures for the National Require. Use my camera. We can split the money."
"Let's make some signs," said Arthur.
"Good idea," said Buster. "But first, I have to call my mom."
So they made signs and put them up around the tent. And the signs said, "Aliens, welcome. We are your friends. Please do my homework." After they finished their signs, they unpacked.
"I brought a few snacks," said the Brain.
"I brought a rubber snake," said Arthur, "to keep D.W. away."
"What did you bring, Buster?"
"Just my baseball cards," said Buster, "and my blankie."
Do you think we really will see aliens tonight?
No. Do you? Said Arthur.
Highly unlikely, said the brain. The boys forgot all about aliens. They were too busy telling jokes and trading baseball cards.
Pillow fight! Screamed Buster.
Quiet, said the brain. What's that sound? Footsteps, whispered Buster. And they're getting closer, said Arthur.
Uh-oh.
Pizza delivery, called an unfamiliar voice. Compliments of the sleepover parents.
Everyone laughed.
I almost stopped breathing, said Arthur.
I almost wet my pants, said Buster.
Before they knew it, they heard another voice.
Lights out, said Father. It's after 9. Bedtime.
Already? Said Arthur.
Thank you for the pizza, sir, said the brain.
You're welcome, said Father. Good night.
Good night, said the boys sweetly.
As soon as they heard Father go back into the house, they shot out of their sleeping bags like cannonballs.
I heard bedtime, said the brain, but I didn't hear sleep time.
Let's tell spooky stories, said Arthur.
How about cards, suggested Buster.
Just as it was Arthur's turn to go fish, they saw the flashing lights.
They dropped their cards.
It got very quiet.
Aliens, whispered Buster.
I don't hear any footsteps, whispered Arthur.
Of course not, said the brain. They haven't landed yet.
Lights flashed again.
They're headed for our tent. Run for your life.
No one could find the flaps.
Help, screamed Buster. Let me out.
The tent collapsed. That didn't stop them from making a run for it. But a large maple tree did.
Ouch, said Arthur.
I'm calling my mom, said Buster.
Look, said the brain. The lights are coming from your house.
I think I know this alien, said Arthur.
It's from the planet DW.
Arthur noticed the things they used to make signs. That gave him an idea.
Let's put our tent back up.
I think I know a way we can teach that little space creature a lesson.
Later, Arthur crept quietly into the house. DW was in her room laughing.
What's so funny? He asked.
What are you doing up here? Said DW.
Did you come in because you're scared?
Not really, said Arthur.
I'm returning your camera. You'll probably see an alien before we will.
I doubt it, said DW.
Well, just in case, said Arthur.
Sweet dreams.
Then, very quietly, he returned to his tent. A minute later, DW heard a tap at her window. And when she looked out, she saw a big yellow monster with green dots and huge teeth and 2 alien antennas on top of his head.
Aliens! She screamed. She screamed so loud, it woke up everyone in the neighborhood.
Everyone except Buster, the brain, and Arthur. When Mother and Father went out to check, the boys were sleeping like little angels. Of course, after Mother and Father went back into the house, it was another story.
The boys were dancing and laughing and jumping up and down. The end.
Hello, we're going on another Arthur adventure. Our book is titled Arthur's Eyes by Mark Brown. This is Arthur before he got glasses. He looked fine, but he couldn't see very well. Sometimes he got headaches. Arthur had to hold his book so close that his nose got in the way. He couldn't see the board. Francine had to read Arthur the problems. "Are you blind?" she always asked. Francine got every problem right. Arthur didn't. No one wanted to play with Arthur on the basketball court. He shot every ball far away from the basket. Arthur's father and mother took him to the optometrist. Dr. Iris tested Arthur's eyes. "You need glasses," said Dr. Iris. Arthur tried on all kinds of frames. He tried square ones, round ones, triangles. He chose the ones he liked best. "You look very handsome in your new glasses," said his father. "Everything looks clearer," said Arthur. His mother told him he looked very smart. But the next morning, his friends laughed at him at the bus stop. Francine called him Four Eyes.
"Sissy," shouted Buster.
None of Arthur's friends wore glasses. No one in his family wore glasses either. Arthur felt awful. He didn't care if he could see. He didn't want to be called Four Eyes. Arthur decided he would lose his glasses. Arthur put his shirt in the laundry, in the front pocket were his glasses. His mother found them the next morning and carried them out to the breakfast table. "You have to be more careful, Arthur. You're lucky they weren't broken." That day at school, Arthur hid his glasses in his lunchbox. He told his teacher he forgot them. But now, things were harder to see than ever. When Arthur walked down the hall to the boys' room, he had to count the doors. He opened the door, and Francine was talking. What was Francine doing in the boys' room?
"Get out of here," screamed Francine. "This is the girls' room."
Arthur bumped into the wall. He couldn't find the door. Now all the girls were screaming. Out in the hall, doors opened. Teachers ran out. The principal appeared. Everyone was looking at Arthur. Arthur turned red. He wanted to hide. The principal took Arthur to his office. Then Arthur's teacher talked to him.
"Why don't you keep your glasses in a case in your pocket, as I do?" he asked.
"You wear glasses?" asked Arthur.
"Yes, for reading," said his teacher. He took them out. They looked just like Arthur's, brown.
Suddenly, Arthur felt better. He went to his lunchbox and put on his glasses. In gym, Arthur made 10 baskets. Francine made 4. That afternoon, Arthur didn't need Francine to read the problems on the board. He got every one right. Arthur could see Francine's paper. She missed 2. After school, Francine asked Arthur to be on her team.
"I'll consider it," said Arthur. The next morning, Arthur was very surprised when he saw Francine.
They're my movie star glasses, said Francine as she put glasses on.
But there isn't any glass in them, said Arthur.
It doesn't matter.
They help me concentrate and make me look beautiful, said Francine.
That afternoon, a photographer took the class picture.
Just a minute, said Arthur. He took out his glasses. He carefully polished them and put them on.
Everyone ready? Asked the photographer.
Wait, said Francine.
She ran to get her purse and put on her glasses. She took out her movie star glasses and said,
okay, I'm ready too.
Smile, said the photographer.
Arthur and Friends, Buried Treasure Adventure by Mark Brown.
Check out this cool present from my dad, said Francine.
Is it some kind of supersonic sweeper? Asked Binky.
No, said Buster. It's for finding alien spaceships.
I'll show you what it does at the beach, said Francine.
When they got to the beach, Francine pressed the on button.
Stand back, she said.
It made a strange crackling sound, then a few beeps.
Look, said Francine, pulling a bottle cap out of the sand. It's a metal detector. You use it to find buried treasure.
That's not treasure, sniffed Buster.
I bet there's lots of neat stuff hidden here, said Arthur. We just have to find it.
They combed the beach for 2 hours.
Wow, said Buster.
One old fish hook, 6 bottle caps, a thimble, and a broken pair of sunglasses.
This isn't worth anything, said Binky.
I don't understand it, said Francine. The instruction book says you can find gold and silver and lots of other valuable stuff.
Maybe we're doing it wrong, said Arthur.
I'll bet the good stuff is buried way down below, she said. We better start digging.
Everybody got down on their knees.
Keep going. You have to dig at least 5 more feet, Francine said.
I read that in a book about buried treasure.
We don't have any shovels, said Binky.
Keep digging, said Francine.
Francine climbed into the deep hole and turned on the detector.
It clicked and cracked, then stopped.
Shh, whispered Francine.
I think I'm getting something.
The detector started to make a loud beeping sound.
I found something, cried Francine.
It's a pirate's doubloon, Francine shouted.
Wrong, said Binky.
It's a gold ring, she tried again.
Negative, said Buster.
A lump of gold, she said.
I don't think so, said Arthur.
Well, what is it? Asked Francine.
It's some kind of coin, Arthur said.
It looks like a penny, said Buster.
It has a princess on it, said Binky.
That's not a princess, silly, said Francine.
That's the Statue of Liberty.
Well, she is wearing a crown, replied Binky.
This is really old, said Francine.
Aren't old coins worth a lot of money sometimes?
I don't know, said Arthur. But I know who will.
The ultimate guide to coin collecting should tell us, said the brain. He studied a page, then the penny, then another page.
What is it? Asked Francine.
The numbers and letters are hard to read, said the brain, as he got out a magnifying glass and looked. He came to a picture and gasped.
Wow! I don't believe it, he said.
What is it? Cried Francine.
This is one of the rarest coins in the Western Hemisphere, the Lucky Lady Liberty Penny.
I'm rich, said Francine.
It's only worth about $10,000, said the brain.
$10,000? Cried Francine, dancing around the room.
She took the penny and put it in her pocket.
I dug for hours, said Buster.
I'm the one who saw the crown, said Binky.
I found the coin in the guide, added Brain.
You really should share with all of us.
It's my metal detector, so it belongs to me, Francine said.
No fair, they all cried.
The next day, Francine made a list of all the things she'd buy with the $10,000. Muffy helped.
And don't forget a few presents for your best friend, said Muffy.
If that were my coin, I'd put it in a bank vault. It's very valuable.
After Muffy left, Francine decided to put the coin away in a special hiding place.
But later, when Francine went to hide the penny, she couldn't find it. She looked under the bed. She looked in her closet. She looked in every drawer.
It's gone, cried Francine.
Francine went to the playground.
How's your Lady Liberty penny? Asked Binky.
I lost it, said Francine.
How could you lose it? Asked Buster.
I looked everywhere, said Francine, but it's gone.
That's too bad, said Muffy.
Maybe we could help you find it, said Arthur.
Share the work, said Binky.
Share the reward, said Buster.
Francine agreed, if we find it.
Arthur and his friends turned Francine's room upside down.
It's gone, sighed Buster.
Let's go.
Wait, said Arthur. He turned on the metal detector.
I'm getting a reading, he said, following a beeping sound. The closer he got to Muffy, the louder it beeped.
I don't have it, cried Muffy.
But when she lifted her foot, there it was on the bottom of her shoe, stuck to a wad of gum.
I found it, Arthur said.
I mean, we found it.
Found what? Asked Francine's dad.
The lucky Lady Liberty penny, explained Francine.
It's worth $10,000.
Mr. Frinsky examined it closely.
I hate to tell you, but this is just a plain old Liberty penny.
The book said the 1902 coin was worth $10,000, said the brain.
This coin is from 1932, said Mr. Frinsky.
The three is almost worn away. It's worth about $10.
Sorry.
Figures, said Francine.
Easy come, easy go, said the brain.
So, what are you going to do with the $10, Francine? Asked Buster.
I know exactly what to do with it, said Francine.
Where's the phone?
Francine passed around the pizza she had ordered.
Dig in, she said.
No more digging, please, said Binky.
The end. This is Cindy, and I'll be signing off for now. Thank you for listening to the stories I've read. I hope you've had as much fun listening as I did reading. Until next time, thank you again.
Thank you so much for coming and reading with us today. We had a good time with you. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.